All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we are going to be diving into the recent ceasefire in Gaza.
Yeah.
And we've got some articles here,
Mm-hmm.
really fascinating stuff going way beyond just the ceasefire itself
Right.
into like the psychology of the conflict
Oh.
and even the long-term viability,
Oh.
of the Zionist project.
Yeah, it's about connecting the dots. You
Yeah.
know, seeing how this ceasefire kind of fits into a much bigger and ever-evolving narrative.
Totally. So one article, A Fragile Truce, is arguing that this ceasefire is not necessarily a sign of lasting peace.
Right.
And the author, Raja Sohail Bashir, brings up a really important point about, the history of broken promises in the region.
Yeah.
And they're arguing that Israel uses these pauses, these periods of relative calm,
Right.
to kind of regroup and solidify control, not to work towards a genuine resolution.
Yeah, that's crucial. I think, we can't analyze the ceasefire in isolation.
Right.
Historically, these periods have been used by Israel to further entrench the occupation, particularly through settlement expansion.
Right.
So, framing it solely as a victory for either side
Right.
is a vast oversimplification.
Yeah, and that's where it gets really interesting because another article is arguing that the resistance has actually emerged stronger from this conflict. And they cite concrete examples like, the agreed upon phased withdrawal of Israeli forces from certain areas,
Yeah.
the return of displaced Palestinians,
Right.
the reduction of aerial surveillance,
Okay.
a significant increase in humanitarian aid. These are all points that were specifically demanded by the resistance.
Exactly. And it's important to note that, these things were not just given freely.
Yeah.
The resistance was able to force these concessions through, through their own strategic thinking, through their resilience,
Yeah.
despite facing, a vastly superior military force.
Right.
It challenges the traditional narrative of just Israeli military dominance.
Totally. Like, it makes you question what victory even means in this context.
Yeah.
It's not just about military strength. It's about achieving your objectives,
Right.
even when the odds are stacked against you.
Absolutely. And speaking of challenging narratives,
Yes.
there's another point I found really thought-provoking.
Okay.
The article, The Psychology of Erasure, really digs deep into this idea of, how the Zionist project relies on this psychological mechanism of dehumanization.
Right.
And they argue that this isn't just a byproduct of the conflict.
Yeah.
This is actually essential to how the Zionist project functions.
Right. They go even further and break down like the specific psychological mechanisms involved,
Yeah.
like cognitive dissonance, moral disengagement,
Right.
euphemistic labeling. It's
Yeah.
like, how can a state that claims to be democratic justify the reality of the occupation and apartheid?
Right.
Like, how do they bridge that gap?
Yeah.
And it's through these mechanisms.
Right, exactly. The article uses some powerful examples. They look at the Israeli education system, military service, and how the media portrays Palestinians.
Right.
And all of these contribute to a narrative that ultimately dehumanizes Palestinians
Yeah.
and makes it easier to justify their oppression.
And they draw some really chilling parallels to like historical examples of colonialism and othering,
Yeah.
bringing up Edward Said, Frantz Fanon, who really dissected
Right.
how colonizers justify their actions by creating this other
Yeah.
that is seen as less than human. And
Right.
we see those same patterns here.
The parallels are definitely there. And this brings us to, I think, a crucial question for you, the listener.
Okay.
If dehumanization is so deeply ingrained in the fabric of this conflict,
Yeah.
how does that impact the possibility of actually achieving a just and lasting peace?
Right. And it makes you wonder if the resistance was able to secure these concessions in the ceasefire, does that signal a decline in Zionist dominance?
Well, another article, Israel's Reckoning, suggests that the seeds of that decline may have very well been sown from within. It paints a very bleak picture of some of the internal struggles that Israel is facing:
Okay.
economic devastation, military overstretch,
Right.
deep societal fissures.
So maybe it's not just external pressure from the resistance,
Right.
but also these internal contradictions that are weakening the Zionist project.
Exactly. And that's where things get really fascinating.
Okay.
If we look at this through the lens of historical materialism,
Yeah.
this idea that analyzes how internal contradictions within a system can lead to its eventual collapse, we start to see how these struggles within Israel could be a stain of a much deeper systemic crisis.
So the ceasefire might be a moment of pause,
Yeah.
But beneath the surface, there are these powerful forces at play that could be reshaping the entire landscape of the conflict.
Precisely. And that leads us to the question of solutions.
Yeah.
For decades, the two-state solution has been touted as the answer,
Right.
but is it really a viable option anymore?
Right. Israel's reckoning doesn't hold back,
Right.
calling it a cruel illusion.
Right.
And it's hard to argue with their logic.
Yeah.
How can you have two states when one side is continually expanding settlements, making a viable Palestinian state impossible?
The relentless expansion of settlements is key.
Yeah.
It exposes the inherent contradiction at the heart of the Zionist project.
Right.
This claim to both democracy and ethno-religious dominance, these two concepts are fundamentally incompatible.
So if the two-state solution is essentially dead,
Yeah.
what are the alternatives?
Well, a fragile truce makes a very strong case for a one-state solution,
Okay.
arguing that it is the only path towards lasting peace and justice in the region.
I mean, isn't that incredibly unrealistic? Going from the current situation to a single democratic state where everyone has equal rights
Sure.
seems like a massive leap.
It's definitely a challenging proposition,
Yeah.
but consider this: the status quo, as we've discussed, is unsustainable.
Right.
The sources point to, various factors: Israel's internal problems, the resistance's growing strength,
Right.
the shifting regional dynamics.
Yeah.
All of these suggest that the current system is heading towards a collapse.
So if things can't continue as they are,
Right.
the one-state solution starts to look less like a fantasy and more like
Right.
the inevitable outcome.
Exactly. A fragile truce frames it not just as a pragmatic solution,
Yeah.
but also as a moral imperative. They draw on, universalist ethics,
Okay.
liberation theology,
Right.
arguing that it's not just about what's possible, it's
Yeah.
about what is right.
I see where you're going with this.
Right.
It shifts the entire conversation.
Yeah.
If you believe in equality and justice for all, then the one-state solution becomes the ethical choice.
Right.
But what would that actually look like?
Well, they're very clear on that point.
Okay.
It doesn't mean expelling Jews from Palestine.
Right.
It means creating a truly inclusive democracy.
Where everyone, regardless of their background, has equal rights and representation.
That's a powerful vision.
Yeah.
But it raises so many questions.
Sure.
How do you get from here to there?
Right.
What about the deep-seated animosity between the two sides? And what role does the United States play in all of this?
Yeah.
Because the sources definitely don't let America off the hook.
That's right. There's this tendency to focus on the Israel lobby
Right.
as this all-powerful force dictating U.S. policy.
Right.
But the sources encourage us to think bigger,
Okay.
to look at the broader context of American imperialism.
Empire Reborn, in particular,
Yes.
argues that Israel serves a very strategic purpose for the United States in the region,
Right.
acting as a proxy force that helps to maintain American hegemony in West Asia. It's like, Israel is a tool
Yeah.
in America's geopolitical toolbox.
And that perspective sheds light on the Trump administration's push for a ceasefire.
They argue that it wasn't actually about genuine concern for Palestinians. It was about damage control, recognizing that Israel's military approach was failing
Okay.
and trying to salvage the situation.
Really? That seems to contradict Trump's past support for Israel.
It does.
Yeah.
And it highlights how even figures like Trump, who have been staunchly pro-Israel, are having to adjust their approach.
Yeah.
This suggests a possible shift in
Right.
the political landscape,
Yeah.
where the old narratives about this conflict are losing their grip on reality.
And the resistance's role in this cannot be overstated.
Absolutely.
They have been instrumental in changing the narrative on the ground.
The sources point to the ripple effects of the resistance's actions beyond Gaza.
Yeah.
We're seeing growing unrest in Jordan and Egypt, the resilience of, what's known as the axis of resistance.
Right.
All of these things point to the limits of Israel's very military-centric approach and a potential shift in the regional balance of power.
This ceasefire might feel like a moment of calm,
Yeah.
but these sources suggest that the situation is anything but stable.
Right.
We've got these powerful forces at play, both within Israel and across the region, that are pushing for change.
And that change isn't just happening on a geopolitical level.
Right.
The psychology of erasure,
Yeah.
those deeply ingrained attitudes that have shaped this conflict for decades, are also being challenged.
Right.
And that's a crucial development because true peace-lasting peace
Yeah.
can only emerge when those attitudes start to shift.
So to recap, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
The ceasefire itself, the psychological underpinnings of the conflict, the potential decline of Zionist dominance,
mm-hmm.
the illusion of the two-state solution,
right.
the moral arguments for a one-state solution, and the complex role of the United States. Phew.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Yeah.
But we always encourage you, the listener, to keep exploring, to dig deeper into these issues.
Absolutely.
And to seek out diverse perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, true understanding requires going beyond the headlines,
right.
grappling with the nuances,
yeah.
and being willing to question your own assumptions.
Exactly.
And on that note,
yeah,
we're going to leave you with a final question to ponder.
Okay.
Given everything we've discussed,
yeah.
the deep-seated psychological and political obstacles,
mm-hmm.
the shifting power dynamics.
Right.
What do you think is the most realistic path towards lasting peace and justice in the region?
Yeah.
There are no easy answers.
No.
But asking the question is a crucial first step.
It's a question that demands our attention,
yeah.
our critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
and our willingness to challenge those comfortable narratives
yes.
that we've been fed.
Totally.
Because as we've seen today, those narratives often crumble under scrutiny.
Okay, so that's it for part one of our deep dive.
All right.
Make sure to tune in for part two, where we'll continue to unpack these complex issues
mm-hmm.
and explore potential pathways to peace. We'll see you soon.
All right, take care.
This isn't about picking sides or anything or
no.
finding easy answers,
yeah.
you know? It's about understanding the complexity,
right.
the history,
mm-hmm.
the human cost of this conflict.
And recognizing that those... you know, comfortable narratives that we've been fed
right.
often fall apart when you start digging deeper.
Which is exactly what we're doing here in this deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, equipping you, the listener,
mm-hmm.
with the knowledge and context to form your own informed opinions.
Because at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
Yeah.
Not just understanding the problem.
Right.
But, you know, working towards a future
mm-hmm.
where peace and justice prevail.
Absolutely.
And to do that,
yeah.
we need to be able to think critically
right.
and challenge assumptions.
Absolutely. And those solutions, those paths to a better future,
yeah.
you know, might not look like what we've been told. Mm. They might require us to rethink our assumptions,
yeah.
to challenge the status quo, to imagine a world
right.
that's radically different from the one we see today.
A world where that psychology of erasure
right.
is replaced by a genuine recognition of shared humanity.
Exactly.
Where that illusion of dominance
mm-hmm.
gives way to a commitment to true equality and justice for all.
It's a daunting task.
Yeah.
But not an impossible one.
Right.
And it starts with each of us,
mm-hmm.
you know? With our willingness to learn, to question, and
right.
to act.
So keep diving, keep exploring.
Absolutely.
Keep seeking those deeper truths.
Yeah.
Because that's how we change the world one deep dive at a time.
And who knows, maybe the next time we revisit this issue,
yeah.
we'll be talking about the dawn of a new era in the region.
Right.
An era of peace, justice, and shared prosperity for all.
Let's hope.
Until then, keep those minds engaged and those hearts open.
That's it for this deep dive.
Right.
We'll catch you next time. Okay, so in this final part,
yeah.
you know, let's try to like pull together all these threads and see what insights we can glean.
Yeah.
You know, for moving forward, we've talked about the fragility of this recent ceasefire.
Right.
The deep psychological mechanisms that are at play
mm-hmm.
and even the potential for a one-state solution.
Yeah.
You know, it's clear that the situation in Gaza and the broader Israeli-Palestinian conflict are incredibly complex.
And one thing that really stands out to me from all these sources is this idea that,
yeah.
you know, simply focusing on military solutions
Weird.
Or short-term political maneuvers
yeah.
won't lead to lasting peace.
Right.
We have to address the underlying issues, the root causes of the conflict.
Totally. And that includes tackling, you know, the psychology of erasure that we discussed.
Exactly.
You're right. We can't just ignore those deeply ingrained attitudes
yeah.
and assumptions. They shape how people view the conflict
right.
and make it incredibly difficult to even imagine a different future.
And that's where I think understanding concepts like historical materialism
mm-hmm.
and liberation theology can be really helpful. They provide these frameworks for analyzing
mm.
how power dynamics, economic systems,
yeah.
and even theological beliefs
yeah.
shape the course of history
right.
and influence potential solutions.
It's like looking at the conflict through multiple lenses.
Exactly.
Trying to understand the historic, the psychological, and even the spiritual dimensions.
Right. And once we start seeing that bigger picture, it becomes clear that a truly just and sustainable solution will require a very fundamental shift in thinking on both sides.
Right.
It's about moving beyond this zero-sum game mentality, where one side's gain is automatically seen as the other side's loss.
And that's where the one-state solution, despite all of its challenges, starts to become really compelling.
Right.
It forces us to grapple with this idea of, you know, shared humanity.
Yeah.
Of creating a society where everyone has equal rights and opportunities.
Right.
Regardless of their background.
It's a radical idea for sure.
Yeah.
But so was the idea of ending apartheid in South Africa.
Right.
Or dismantling segregation in the United States.
Right.
Change often starts with these radical ideas that challenge the status quo.
And what's encouraging is that, you know, the sources point to some real shifts happening on the ground.
Yeah.
We see it in the resistance's growing strength.
Absolutely.
Their strategic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see it in the increasing awareness of the flaws in the two-state solution.
Yeah.
We even see it in, like, the cracks that are appearing within the Zionist project itself.
These shifts suggest that change is possible, but it won't happen overnight.
Right.
It will require sustained effort, dialogue, and a willingness to envision a future that looks radically different from the present.
And that's where you, the listener, come in.
Absolutely.
You know, we've explored a lot of really complex information today.
Yeah.
And now it's up to you to continue engaging with these issues.
Right.
Seek out diverse perspectives. Challenge your own assumptions.
Yeah.
And participate in this ongoing conversation about how to achieve lasting peace and justice in the region.
Remember, knowledge is power.
Yes.
But it's only truly valuable when it's used to create positive change.
Totally. So keep learning, keep questioning, keep pushing for a better world.
Absolutely.
So that's all for our deep dive into the situation in Gaza.
All right.
We hope this has given you some new insights and perspectives to consider. And remember, the conversation doesn't end here.
Right.
Keep exploring. Keep engaging.
Yeah.
And keep striving for a future where peace and justice prevail for all.
Absolutely. It,